And we've been talking a little bit about that reality and about living with the presence of God and living in the midst of the presence of God and learning to hear His voice and learning to pay attention to what He's saying and obeying Him. We've also been, last week we talked a little bit about the phrase, in a little while. That just like maybe when we were kids, or maybe you've said to your own kids, or we've said to our own children, when they've asked us to come outside and play, and we say, in a little while. That sometimes when we approach God, and He says, you can't approach me with anything, anytime, sometimes when we approach Him, His answer is, in a little while. That you must endure the thing that you're going through. And I have a purpose for this circumstance. I have a purpose for what's happening in your life. I have a purpose for what I'm doing in the world right now. And in a little while, you'll see. In a little while. Today, we're going to end our little series on living in reality with the victory is won. You see, as a follower of Jesus, the reality is that there is a spiritual battle that is raging everywhere. It is. It's happening. There is a real evil enemy, and he is prowling and trying to distract and deceive people so that they don't go to and depend upon Christ to save them from their sin, just like he's made it available to save the whole world from their sin. But we must accept it, and we're going to get there in just a little bit. But the victory is won. Now let me read you a quote from a third century man who was anticipating death on his deathbed, and he penned these last words to a friend of his. Let me read them to you. He says, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." This is a gentleman who, on his deathbed, said, "What is the last thought, the last thing that I want to say to this friend of mine, the last thought I want to leave with him?" And his last thought was the experience that he has had, not only found in the people of Christ, but the experience he's found with a relationship with Jesus Himself. And that experience is peace. That experience is holiness, being set apart for the purposes of God. That experience is a joy that can never be robbed, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. We talked a little bit about that last week and the week before. A joy that cannot be taken away. He talked about a people that are despised and persecuted, but they care not. Despised and persecuted, but they couldn't care less. Because why? Because the victory is won. Despised and persecuted, and it's hard. And you go through things in life that you don't understand. You go through pain. You go through suffering. You just think, I don't know why this is happening. But you know what? It's okay, because really the victory is won, and I'm on the side of the winning army, if you're a follower of Jesus. We've been going in the end of John chapter 15 and all the way through John 16. And we're going to finish out John 16 today. We're going to be in John chapter 16, starting in verse 25. If you have your Bible, or if you have your Bible on your phone or an iPad or something like that, you can turn to that. Or we'll have it up on the screen for you and you can follow along. Sometimes we can forget in the midst of our circumstances just who Jesus is. Sometimes we can forget in the midst of our circumstances just who God, that God is really who He says He is. That He is all present. That He is all knowing. He is all powerful. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is who He says He is. He is the victor. He has declared victory over death. And we have nothing to fear in this life. John 16, starting in verse 25. Jesus continues to speak, and He says, "I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in My name. I am not telling you that I will make requests to the Father in your behalf, for the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." "Aha," his disciples said, "now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." And Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world." You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. You see, Jesus, he continues to just try to get his point across to the disciples. He's continually trying to say, look, guys, he told them before in chapter 16, it's better for me to go than it is for me to stay, because if I go, God will send the Counselor. He'll send the Holy Spirit, right? His presence will dwell within you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Okay? His presence will dwell within you, and you'll be able to recognize his work all around you because his Spirit resides in you. Jesus is still trying to get this message across. 25 to 28. He keeps talking to the disciples and he says, you know, I speak in figurative language. You know, I tell these stories. I make these word pictures. But I don't speak too plainly. He says, but a time is coming when I will tell you plainly about the Father. He says, and we talked again a little bit last week about, you will experience a new relationship with God. You'll experience a new closeness with God that you never knew, because you will pray directly to God. And Jesus says, I'm not saying that I will go to God on your behalf. He says, you will have direct access to the throne of God in your prayers. You'll have restored relationship with him, because I'm going to provide it for you. He says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and I believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And then we have the disciples' response, right? Like Jesus is saying, trust me, guys, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be really good. And the disciples, they say, finally, Jesus, you're speaking plainly. Now we can believe that you really are the Son of God. Now we can believe that you really are this powerful one. And you know, these are the same disciples that Jesus chose, that he went into them, some of them, when they were mending nets by the seashore, right? And he said, come follow me. And they dropped all their nets and they left their family and they left their dad and they left this business and they went and followed Jesus. And followed him wherever he went. Wherever he would let them go, they went. These are the same guys that Jesus called to himself, the same guys that saw Jesus turn water to wine. They saw Jesus heal the lame and the sick. They saw Jesus calm the storm on the sea. And by the way, remember that story when Jesus calmed the sea? And the disciples had said, when Jesus was in the boat and he was sleeping, and the disciples said, teacher, wake up. Do you not care that we're going to die? And Jesus just, he looked around and he said, hush, be still. And the sea was like glass. And Jesus said, you have little faith. The same ones that saw this happen, the same ones that saw Jesus feed 5,000 men from a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, the same men that saw Jesus forgive sin, the first one that nobody had ever done this before, but they saw Jesus forgive sin. And then to prove that he could do it, he told that paralyzed man to get up and walk, and he did so. They saw Jesus raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. He'd been in the tomb. And they saw him raising from the dead. They heard Jesus' teachings. His teachings about the Father. His teachings about God's kingdom. They heard him teach with power and authority like they had never heard before. Never experienced before. These are the same guys. Yet they still needed to be renewed in their faith. They still needed to be affirmed with something they already knew. You know, I think we can find some common ground with the disciples here. Because it's easy for me to look and read this story and say, come on, guys, seriously? Your response to what Jesus told you is, aha, okay, now we can believe you really are Jesus, right? Because we've known what they've been with him through. We've known the teaching that they've sat under. But you know, the disciples are taking it day by day. The disciples were still on living life previous to the cross. You see, you and I, we have the advantage, we talk about it often, we have the advantage of looking back over this time, we have the advantage of looking post-cross, post-Jesus dying for our sin and being risen from the dead, declaring victory over death. And we look and we say, guys, how can you answer that way? If you're really living in reality, guys, there should be no doubt within your mind. We long that we could walk with Jesus in the flesh and see Him raising people from the dead and see Him, right, calm the storms and feeding thousands with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Man, we'd love to see that. How could you not have faith? I tell you, we have God's very presence living within us. We have a totally different and better reality than disciples. And yet still, I don't know about you, but still I have times where I say, okay, God, yeah, you are who you say you are. Right? Still have times when I'm going through hard circumstances or I'm going through the unknown. We're trying to make decisions for the future of our family. We're trying to, you know, whatever it is, that when God comes through, like He says He always will, in ways that only He can, but when we see Him do it, we say, okay, God, now I see. You are who you say you are. And you know what I'm so thankful for? I'm so thankful for a patient Jesus, and I'm so thankful for a patient God who wants us to have access to this reality that people that don't have Christ, let me say that a different way. To people that don't, that have not yet made the decision to follow Jesus as their Lord, to say, Jesus, I want to make decisions that honor you. I want you to steer my life. I want you to guide my life. I want to have direct personal relationship with you, God. And Jesus, I need to confess that I've done things to grieve the heart of God, and I can't take those away no matter how much good I do. I need you to do it. That if we've made that decision, if we live in reality, then we have access to the heart of God all the time. But I want to say that if there's anyone here maybe this morning, or if there's anyone that maybe is listening online when this is posted later in the week, that Jesus makes it very, very clear. John chapter 5. Verses 38 to 40. Jesus makes it very clear that He is the only way that we can have this reality that we've been talking about the last few Sundays. John 5, starting in verse 38. You don't have His Word living in you because you don't believe the one He sent. You pore over the Scriptures because you think they have eternal life in them, yet they testify about Me, and you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life. Jesus is talking with some of the religious leaders of the day. He's talking with some Jewish religious leaders. Okay? And when he says you, this is who He was approaching. He says, you don't have His Word living in you because you don't believe the one He sent. Jesus is talking to people that studied God's Word daily. Tried to figure out, okay, how can we best follow it? And they thought that the Word, they thought that the law that God gave His people back in what we call the Old Testament, they thought the law was the answer. When Jesus is telling them, guys, the law speaks of Me. The law is saying that I am coming and I'm here, but you're rejecting Me. The only way that you're going to have life, the only way that you can live in this reality, the reality of being in not just the presence of God, but experiencing relationship, right relationship with God, the only way is through Me. He's telling religious leaders this, much less people that had no clue about God or about His Word. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is Jesus talking with His disciples. And Jesus has told them, okay, guys, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Me. Believe in God and believe in Me. In John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. And one of these guys, Thomas, When Jesus, you know, Jesus keeps talking about how he's going to one day, he's going to go be with the Father. And Thomas is saying, Jesus, how can we follow you if we have no idea where you're going, if we don't know the way to get to you? And Jesus looked at him, and that's where John 14:6 comes in. He says, I am the way. In fact, I am the only way for you to know how to get to the Father. That's it. It's only through me. Only through me can you experience the peace and the joy. Only through me can you experience this reality of God's presence living within you and knowing His presence all around you all the time. There is no victory for the individual if we don't come to Jesus. I want to hear that one more time. Title of today's message, Living in Reality. The victory is won. We can celebrate that. But we need to be clear. There is no victory for the individual who does not know Jesus, who has not come to Jesus, who has not come humbly and said, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I can't do it without you. But with Jesus, there is victory. John 16:31. Jesus responded to them, Do you now believe? It says, An hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. This verse in John 16:33. This verse is the reason that we can have a quote like we read at the very beginning of this message. This verse is the reason why a man in the third century, right? A man in the third century could pen the things that he did. And when he said, it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, could we look around our world and say that, it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world? You know, maybe the murder that happened just one community over from us, it's a bad world. It's an incredibly bad world. The things that are going on all over the news, it's a bad world. It's an incredibly bad world. Yes, we can say that. But you know what? I'm so glad that he didn't end there. I'm so glad that his experience in this life was that it's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. This reality, the fact that we can live in this world, that sometimes you look around and that's all you can think. It's a bad world. It's a very bad world. But then when we remember the reality that God offers us, we can say, you know what? Yes, there is evil in this world. There are bad things that happen in this world. But there is a victorious one that can bring life in the midst of all this tragedy. There is one who came to pay the ultimate price so that we could experience a different reality than just looking around and having the despair of saying, it's just a bad world. What am I doing here? That he can give us purpose for our life. And he promises us. Now, Jesus, would you say that Jesus is a man of his word? Would you say that what he says is pretty well, you can put it in the bank? Right? There's not even a 2-week waiting period. Like, cash that dude, right? It's the truth. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Great. God, I can have peace no matter what happens. It's not easy. I don't always understand what's happening, but I can experience peace. Okay? Put it in the bank. You will have suffering in this world. Remember, Jesus is a guy, right? He is fully God, fully man. Okay, we can agree on that? Fully God, fully man. What he says is truth, absolutely, without argument. Jesus says, you will have, what? Suffering in this world. It will happen. He says, look at my life. I encountered some suffering in this world. Don't think that you're going to be any different. But he says, I've done all these things so that you can have peace. I've done all these things because when you encounter suffering, you can be courageous. Because I have overcome the world. Followers of Jesus here today, when we look at the world around us and we start to feel overwhelmed by all this stuff, know that when you look at the world around you, that yes, God does dwell in and through you. He is with you all the time. But did you know that He occupies all the space all around you as well? We focused a lot in the last couple of weeks on God in us and what God is doing within us and the things that He's saying to our hearts, the ways that He's changing our minds. And yes, He's doing that. And yes, that's exactly what He wants you to do. But don't lose sight of the fact that God is absolutely everywhere. That if we'll pick our eyes up and we look, and maybe we see the hard things of this world, but we need to pray and say, God, I want to see You at work in the midst of the hard things of this world, in the midst of the junk in my life. Pray that I would be willing to, and able to see where You're at work and join You in it. Verse 33 is what allows quotes like this to happen. Like this dying man who wanted his friend to know that only in a restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ can you know joy that cannot be taken away. Can you know peace that surpasses all understanding? Can you experience suffering and persecution and yet be able to rise above it? Story after story. And I'm not recommending this movie. I'm not seeing this movie. But the story in one of the current movies today of a survivor of a prisoner of war camp who came to relationship with Jesus Christ after his experience in the war, after being held as a prisoner of war, was able to go back and somehow track down the Japanese guard who abused him so horribly, who treated him so awfully, was able to go to him and forgive him only because of the forgiveness that he knew from Christ. Our reality, Southwinds Church, our reality, followers of Jesus, is that the victory is won. We will have suffering. Put it in the bank. We may not know suffering here like they know across an ocean. Who knows? Maybe one day we will know suffering like they know across the ocean. But we will have suffering. Jesus told us we will have suffering. But be courageous. Or some translations say, take heart, for I have overcome the world. This, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is not news to you. But I hope it's an encouragement, and I hope it's a reminder and a renewal of faith. A renewal that we can go from this place today encouraged and challenged to say, God, do I live like You've won the victory? Do I live like You've won the victory? Am I able to forgive the people that come against me? Am I able to forgive the people that maybe treat me poorly? Am I able to go to people and ask forgiveness for where I have behaved poorly? We are part of God's victory. Do I need to ask Him to reaffirm my heart, trusting that He is in control and has already won the victory? Do I need to ask God to reaffirm my heart even today, this morning, before you leave this place? Do I need to ask God to reaffirm my heart, trusting that He is in control and has already won the victory, and that He wants to use me to further His kingdom? Do you need that today? Maybe you just need to take a moment while we sing this last song that we're about to sing. Maybe you just need to take a moment and say, God, You are the victor.